The news radio, the parents of an 11-month-old boy who nearly drowned in a Tempe bathtub have been arrested.
Tempe police say the dad left their baby in the bathtub with running water, then went back to bed. It took the couple's 4-year-old child to wake them and tell them the baby was still in the filled tub.
An 18-month-old Phoenix girl back with her mother, taken for about 20 minutes today by the girl's biological father.
We were able to make contact with the gentleman by telephone, and we were, again, fortunately, we were able to get the baby, because that's our major concern.
State Senator Leah Landrum Taylor says she doesn't plan to refile ethics charges against Senator Scott Bungard after he pled no contest to a domestic violence incident.
I would hope he would just do it on his own and just step down and take care of his personal life.
Three Florence teens credited with saving the life of a man whose pickup truck went off into a canal.
He was unable to get above the waterline on his own or get out of his truck.
He had suffered some sort of a seizure. George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, once again, in service of the 99 cent only stores in the 4 o'clock hour, gang. We still have that disabled vehicle eastbound loop 202. That is at Priest. A second disabled vehicle southbound I-17 just before you arrive at Bell Road, and watch for a collision westbound I-10 at Avondale Boulevard. 99 Cent Only Stores has everything you need to create a delicious fruit salad. Get bags of peaches, plums, and nectarines for only 99.99 cents. Here's a look at your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell for the KFNX Weather Center. Pretty quiet the next couple of evenings around here as far as the monsoon is concerned. By Friday, more thunderstorms return to the deserts, but then we dry it out again over the weekend. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. KFNX News Time is 4:05 currently in Central Phoenix. We are at a blistering 109 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, it's the Legal Ease Radio Show with your host, Dennis Willinchek. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Sam from Provo writes, how come a slim chance and a fat chance mean the same thing, but a wise man and a wise guy are opposites?
Oh, it's a peculiar mystery indeed. Sort of like how Geico's website is geico.com, not geico.ridiculouslysimplesavings or geico.payyourbill from the comfort of your computer. Both those names would make a lot more sense.
Wow, you are a wise man, gecko, man.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, does it make a noise? Yep.
Be like the 4 million who switched to Geico last year, and you too could start saving money. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
This is Legal Ease, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
Well, good afternoon. This is Dennis Willinchek, and as you just heard, this is Legal Ease, brought to you every Wednesday from 4 to 5, talking about issues that affect all of us that involve the law in some way or another. We always try to find some way to figure out how it applies to us. And we have a great show on today. We have with us in the first half of our show, Dave Cole, who is a former judge of the Superior Court for over 20 years, served in that capacity, and was a clerk at the Arizona Supreme Court, an assistant attorney general, and a deputy county attorney for Pima and Maricopa counties, and is currently serving as the Solicitor General, for the Arizona Attorney General's office. We'll get into what that is. Most of you probably don't even know what that is. And also is a professor at Phoenix School of Law and has been for the last 4 years. So welcome to our show, Dave.
Thank you, Dennis.
Pleased to have you. And there's so many topics, but let's start off with a little primer for our listening audience. What is the Solicitor General, if you can help us with that one?
The Solicitor General primarily has responsibility, ultimate responsibility, for all civil appeals. To a large extent, previous Solicitor Generals haven't involved themselves with the criminal appeals so much, but because my background is pretty conducive to that. I also get involved to some degree with the criminal appeals and the capital cases. The Solicitor General is also responsible for preparing official Attorney General opinions that get published, and we are also in charge of many aspects of the Arizona election system, with obviously a lot of help, or maybe it's us helping them, from the Secretary of State. So it's a broad-based kind of job. One of the things I like is the variety. Most of my background before taking the bench was criminal, as you probably recall.
Right.
And my current job gives the ability to have my to be involved in a wide range of activities, which is quite refreshing, and it's one of the things I enjoy.
Yeah, I think it's a job that a lot of people, as I said, just don't know how it's defined, and it's a very broad job by my research. The Solicitor General, as you say, assists in appellate cases, including supervision of all civil appeals. I take it that means that you, or your office, that is, would argue these appeals as well. Is that right?
Well, we do that in a collaborative way. There are times that we will. There are times that we won't. A lot of times, the best help we can be, the best assistance we can provide, is to simply review the briefs and give the brief writers perhaps some other ideas about how to approach issues and so forth. But we do have, we do argue our share of these cases and have historically since the office was created.
And just before we leave this topic, the other thing that I think is interesting is that the Solicitor General in Arizona, at least, I don't know if this is true of all states, but the Solicitor General is really part of the Attorney General's office. Is that right?
That's correct.
And you report to the Attorney General?
I do.
Okay. So it's not an independent position.
It's independent only in the sense that, as you know, many state agencies are represented by the Attorney General's office, and there are times when agencies need independent advice that they clearly can't ask the Attorney General.
Because of conflict.
Because of conflict. So we provide independent advice. To that extent, the Solicitor General is independent of the Attorney General, but only to that extent. For all other purposes, organizational and otherwise, I report to Tom Horn.
And do you still teach as a professor at the law school?
No, I'm not doing it now. I'm hopeful at some point of going back as an adjunct, but frankly, when Mr. Horn offered me this position, it became very clear to me that I needed to essentially just get in and do it, and that required me to do nothing else. And so eventually at some point I might like to go back and teach as an adjunct because, frankly, teaching informs the way I practice law and vice versa, as it should. And I miss the teaching, but for now I'm where I am, and I love doing it.
Interesting. Now, did you know Tom Horn before this? Had you had matters with him? Or?
No, never had any involvement at all with Mr. Horn prior to being interviewed for this position.
Interesting. So, and he reached out to you for it?
He did.
That's a compliment. And let's talk, while we're on it then, about some of the cases. As we discussed, your office obviously handles, assists in appellate cases and supervises the civil appeals. And as you said, you get involved sometimes in criminal appeals as well. But let's talk about a recent case that I know you were involved in, and that was the Planned Parenthood versus Horn case. Is that right?
Correct.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit of the background of the case, if you can, and what was the result in that case, if you would?
This case arises or arose out of a series of statutes that were enacted back in 2009, signed into law in 2009. Planned Parenthood sought and obtained an injunction from the Arizona Superior Court in and for Maricopa County. And the injunction was pretty broad-based. It enjoined the state from enforcing any of the four aspects of the statute that were being challenged by Planned Parenthood.
And just for our listeners, you may have been saying this, but so what was the purpose of the statute or the main points of the statute?
There were actually several. One had to do with only doctors providing abortions. Another one had to do with certain information being personally provided for the woman seeking an abortion within 24 hours of actually receiving the abortion. Actually, I should say at least 24 hours before the actual procedure. There was also a requirement that for minors obtaining abortions that their parental parent form be notarized. So there were several different aspects to the law. Judge Dotton, who was the assigned judge from the Maricopa County Superior Court, enjoined all the laws, and that's where the appeal comes from.
Well, what was the basis for him doing that?
I think the basis for him doing it was essentially that federal law and thus Arizona law would prevent enforcement based on constitutional principles, and that's how his order reads. Of course, it goes into much more detail than that. He did separately analyze each of the four statutes at issue, but came to the same conclusion as to all four, and that was that they clearly, at least in his mind, ran afoul of the federal constitution, and by virtue of that would also violate the Arizona constitution, and that's where the case got started, essentially.
I'm curious why the case is brought in state court as opposed to federal court. Do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, haven't really thought about why it was done that way. That would be Planned Parenthood's call.
Yeah.
And perhaps they thought that the result they were going to get wouldn't be very good under extant U.S. Supreme Court case law, primarily the Casey case from 1992 in Pennsylvania. I think that their thought was, and I can't speak for them and shouldn't try, but I think their thinking probably was that they really needed to do this as a matter of Arizona constitutional law, because they were probably not going to fare very well if the Casey standard was applied to these four particular provisions. So my assumption is, and my read is, that they figured that the only real challenge that they could mount had to be based on Arizona constitutional law.
Interesting. Is there any threat now to bring it in federal court?
Not that I'm aware of, but that doesn't mean something couldn't happen tomorrow that simply wasn't foreseeable today.
And the appellate court, in a unanimous decision written by Judge Swan, held that the four statutory provisions that regulate performance of abortions does not violate the equal protection or privacy clauses of the Constitution. Is that right?
That's correct.
And so at this point, where it stands, I guess, is that based on the decision that you were involved in, the legislation that was signed into law in 2009 by Governor Brewer, I think it was Governor Brewer,
yes,
will take effect in September, or did take effect, excuse me, in September of 2009, will now go forward. Is that right?
Well, it can't really go forward until the mandate issues. Planned Parenthood, pursuant to the rules, has the opportunity to either seek rehearing in the Court of Appeals or file a petition for review. Until a petition for review is denied, or until the time passes for that, the court can't issue a mandate. Once the case mandates, those four statutory provisions can and should be enforced.
That's a good point, because this just happened, and time hasn't run out.
That's correct.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. And when we come back after these commercial messages, these crass commercial messages, which probably include my own ad, when we come back, we're going to talk about other items that you've been involved in as Solicitor General of Arizona.
All right.
With Dave Cole. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Log on now at 1100KFNX.com.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
Every day's a holiday in Healthy Habit Health Food Store, 6029 North 7th Street. Tune in to Healthy House Call, discussing the latest breakthroughs of integrative medicine. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. and call with your questions, 602-266-1000. Discover world-class physicians, medical researchers, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and testimonials from our patients and consumers of natural products. Call 602-266-1000.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Healthline, the world's leader in cell-resonant nutrition technology, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works. This month, Max Stress V is on special, delivering near-instant energy boosting from its live source, high-energy, N-chain forms of B vitamins. Feel the difference. Increased energy, better mood, less sleep need, and more stamina. Even folic acid is in the N-chain form, ready to use by the cell. Max Stress V, our best seller. Nothing else even comes close. Buy two bottles and get the third one free. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447. Experience nutrition that really works.
Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Neil Bortz, mornings at 10 on KFNX.
This is Dennis Walenchek on Legalese, and every Wednesday we're brought to you from 4 to 5. And today, for the first segment of our show, we've been fortunate enough to be talking with Dave Cole, who is the Solicitor General for the state of Arizona. And we've been talking about the Planned Parenthood case that he was involved in personally in his office, Planned Parenthood versus Horn, and dealing with abortion issues. And Dave, in the time we have left, what do you think are the hot topics that your office is going to be looking at handling over, say, the next few months? Is there some case that you're working on right now that's really hot on the burner?
Well, in addition to the Planned Parenthood case, which, of course, is still being litigated, there are some other matters. One involves the Independent Redistricting Commission. As you're aware, they are doing a lot of work and in the middle of some very important work.
Right.
Our clean elections work, at least for the time being, seems to be over, but not to say that issues couldn't come up with clean elections. We've got the medical marijuana issues that are before the court now. We've got some issues that involve access that are before the court. There just seems to never literally be a shortage of cases where the Solicitor General and, to varying degrees, other divisions of the office are involved. Just lots of things going on right now.
Yeah. Well, this case that we've been talking about earlier, this Planned Parenthood case that's, as you say, still going on, there were a lot of issues that you had to overcome to override that injunction. Is that right?
Yeah, we basically had to persuade the Court of Appeals that the injunction was wrongly issued simply because the appropriate standards of law had not been met. And, of course, there's a little bit of difficulty any time you want to challenge a trial court's order. Having done it myself for over 18 years, I know how that works. And you know, the appellate courts, to a large degree, and depending to some extent on the nature of the questions presented, give a great deal of deference to the trial judge. And so we had to show essentially that this ruling by the lower court constituted an abuse of discretion. So that's a hurdle that a lot of times you have to be able to deal with. And luckily we were successful in doing that.
Well, now, doctors can, correct me if I'm wrong, but doctors can opt out of terminating pregnancies for religious beliefs. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
What about in the case of an emergency accident victim? They're put on a situation there where even if they have religious beliefs, if there's an emergency, was that dealt with at all in this case or the issues?
As far as I know, it's not dealt with. Mm. That's left up to the conscience of the individual doctor. Mm. The statute
issue
deals with something a little bit different than that, but that could pose, you know, a very difficult issue for an individual doctor.
Among the points in the statute, I had them here somewhere, but just going through them again, there was one that relates to that. I thought that medical professionals cannot be forced to perform abortions if it contradicts their sincerely held religious or moral beliefs. That is one of the
correct
the items that was I guess enjoined by the lower court.
Correct.
I guess I'm trying to grapple with that mentally as to what that means. If a court enjoins that statute, how does that work? In other words, how does a court enjoin a medical professional in terms of their conscience or religious beliefs? It's almost impossible to enforce that, isn't it?
I would think so. Practically speaking, I guess what it was during the time that the injunction was in effect, and of course, as I indicated earlier, it remains in effect until the mandate issues. But I think basically what the lower court said was that this provision of law cannot be enforced. And I guess if that's telling somebody who has a conscientious objection, if you will, to abortion, you've got to do it anyway, I guess that's essentially what that meant.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, I mean, when you think about it.
Very interesting policy.
Right, right. I don't know. There's a lot of issues implicated in that. You're essentially forcing somebody against their beliefs. Now, the lawmakers made it illegal for the, as I understand it this year, for the University of Arizona School of Medicine to train doctors how to do abortions. Is that accurate also?
I have heard that, but I don't know where the information comes from, and it could well be true.
Mm. Yeah, I'm curious if that is true. We'll check further into that. If that is true, if that law was in fact passed, again, how that works in emergency situations, it's hard for me to fathom how a doctor would not be have to do something in an emergency situation to protect the life of the mother. But this whole abortion issue, of course, raises all kinds of issues that are far beyond me to understand. And, of course, that deal with people's deeply held convictions and beliefs. So,
sure.
Let me ask you this, moving on to a different topic, probably less controversial topic. As a judge for 20 years, did you retire as a judge or was your time up as a judge?
No, I actually left the bench a little bit early. And, of course, pragmatically, the only real effect of that is it reduced my pension.
Uh-huh.
I left the bench when I had the opportunity to sit on all the calendars, as you may recall, because I think we had a civil case or two together while I was on the bench. But I had done civil twice. I had done criminal probably four times.
Yeah.
I had done family court twice. I had done juvenile court twice. I had done all the assignments. And it was time, really, to move on. And the fortunate thing for me was that the Phoenix School of Law had just opened about a year before,
right,
and they wanted somebody to teach evidence, which I consider to be my primary area of expertise. And the timing was right, so I left the bench. Not without some concerns, not without doubts, because frankly, there are times when I miss it.
Do you miss about it?
I think probably just the fact that it's a very, very interesting place to be. You are constantly dealing with jurors, especially on the civil and criminal calendars.
Yeah, I think that would be enjoyable.
That's probably the best part of the job for me was jury selection. I got more fun out of that than I did anything else. The other thing I missed, to be honest with you, is the juvenile calendar, where, frankly, a judge can have more impact in a day than a judge sitting on other kinds of calendars can have in a month.
And, yeah, I would think so.
I mean that literally.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that always concerned me about that, I served for about 4 years as Judge Pro Tem, and very difficult job. That's what I thought. Very difficult job. People think it's easy to make decisions. It's not. It's easy to argue, but it's not easy to make decisions because they affect real people. So I found it very difficult, but I'm sure you probably did too on occasion.
There are cases that I will literally never forget.
Right. But I guess the part, going back to what you were talking about, is why do judges need to rotate? I never quite understood that. You know, there are other jurisdictions, and I'm licensed in other jurisdictions, if you're a domestic relations judge, my example that I give all the time is Sylvan Brown. Sylvan Brown, may he rest in peace, was a born divorce lawyer and family court judge, right? The guy was terrible on civil, hated it, but put him on domestic relations and he just lapped it up, right? Mm-hmm. You remember him.
He worked wonders.
And he loved it. Why you put a guy like that on another kind of bench always was surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
When he wants to be on that calendar, he's good at it, people will get to know him. What are your thoughts on that?
It's easy now to look back and maybe see things a little bit differently mm-hmm. than I did when I actually had a dog
right.
in that fight, so to
right.
speak. I think part of the rationale is to keep people fresh. We're in a large county where we now have, I think, close to 100 full-time Superior Court judges, which just boggles the mind.
Well, if that boggles your mind, just on a tangent, did you look at the list of the five judicial vacancies and who's been selected? I didn't know hardly anybody on that list.
Yeah.
After 34 years of practice.
I knew a couple of names, and that was about
probably
it.
You do more than I do, but because you're in the government sector.
Well, it's a new and evolving world. I think part of the thinking is that you can keep people fresh by rotating them through the assignments. When you get into a situation like we're in now with so many judges, so many people in the county, I think administratively it probably makes sense to do the rotations. If you're in one of the smaller counties, if I could just pick one, like Yavapai or Pinal, not so much Pinal, as you know, they're probably third largest now.
Right.
But in any event, if you're in a little bit smaller county, you can find an area that is your area of expertise And you can probably primarily do those cases because it's easy to work out from an administrative point of view. With a larger county, you really need some way of systematizing it. Mm. And I think the thought is that rotation is the best way. That said, I think that depending on the presiding judge at the time, presiding judges by and large tend to pay a lot of attention to where judges want to be, mm-hmm. on the thought that, look, if he's not happy on assignment X, why give him assignment X or her, as the case may be?
It seems like logical to me. I think that's one of the biggest complaints I hear from lawyers is that they're in front of a judge that doesn't know anything about what they do.
Right.
They've spent years developing a niche practice. They get in front of a judge that has no clue about what they're talking about, and they have to educate the court. It can be very difficult. It's just like rotation. I was in actually a criminal court today. In fact, Judge Gottsfield, who long ago retired and is back now doing a full calendar, bless his heart. But, you know, we had a trial coming up, and I said, well, Judge, I assume you're going to be the judge in this, so we argued this motion. And he said, no, I'm not going to be the judge in it. We're going to just send you out to some rotating calendar, and somebody else will handle the case. And I went, so everything we've talked to you about for over a year now is going to be lost in space. He said, yeah, but I can't do anything about it. So it's a problem, you know, when you invest a lot of time and energy in a case, and then suddenly somebody gets on it who doesn't know anything about what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm going to try to get on the show at one point, the presiding judge, and ask about those issues more. But I appreciate your thoughts on that. We have about 1 minute left. Tell me what the most interesting thing that you've done in a long time is as a lawyer.
As a lawyer, it would be the Planned Parenthood case, mm-hmm. because when I last left lawyering in 1985 when I became the clerk of the Supreme Court, because after that I got appointed to the bench, and after that I taught full time. So it had
you
been 26
years. You were the clerk
years.
Of the court, you
Yes,
mean.
I was the clerk of court.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
An administrative position as opposed to a law clerk position.
Interesting.
Yeah. So when I came to the Attorney General's office in March of this year, I hadn't practiced law in 26 years.
Wow.
And so for me, the most interesting thing was to be a lawyer again, arguing a case in an appellate court, which I get a real kick out of.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. We have to take
You're
a break.
Welcome.
And it was a pleasure having you, and hope to have you on again.
Happy to come back anytime,
Dennis. See you soon. We'll
All
be
right.
back after these messages. This is Dennis Wilnicek on Legalese with Dave Cole, Solicitor General of the State of Arizona.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. The University of Miami says it's cooperating with an NCAA investigation into claims by a former team booster who's now in prison that he spent millions of dollars on gifts, entertainment, and travel for football players. Lawyers for Casey Anthony are asking the Federal Appeals Court to overrule an order requiring her to return to Orlando to serve a year's probation on a check fraud conviction. They say she's already served that time, waiting for her murder trial. Health authorities say three people around the country have died this summer of rare infections from a waterborne amoeba that destroys the brain. The deaths occurred in Louisiana, Virginia, and Florida. Rebel fighters in Libya are fighting forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi for the key city of Zawiya. CNN's Sarah Seidner reports Zawiya is important because a lot of the country's fuel is produced there.
There has been shelling from Gaddafi forces. We're hearing from rebels that there were also snipers from the Gaddafi regime who are inside of that city.
The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio. The parents of an 11-month-old boy arrested after the child almost drowned in the bathtub of a motel in Tempe.
Put the child in the bathtub with the water running, and then both parents at that point went back to sleep.
Border Patrol agents arrest 9 illegal aliens, seized 228 pounds of marijuana in the desert outside of Welton.
You're able to make sure that there is a prosecution of a person as opposed to just seizing the contraband. We're able to actually make a case out of it.
Scottsdale police arrest a Cave Creek man who allegedly hit a 15-year-old boy while trying to break up a fight that included his son.
He struck the 15-year-old boy in the face at least one time.
A woman in her 80s suffered life-threatening injuries when her apartment went up in flames in Tucson.
They couldn't determine cause. There was a couple of different causes it could have been, so they left the cause as undetermined and accidental.
Replica of the Vietnam Memorial in Phoenix.
We must never forget all the heroes that fought and died for this country.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of the 99-cent only stores. Disabled vehicles all over our Valley Freeways gang. Look for one eastbound Loop 202 at Priest Drive, a second one southbound I-17 before you arrive at Bell. Also look for one in the center lane blocking westbound I-10 at 32nd Street. 99-cent only stores has everything you need to create a delicious summer fruit salad. Get bags of peaches, plums, and nectarines for only 99.99 cents. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast. Scorching.
Jim Howell for the KFNX Weather Center. Pretty quiet the next couple of evenings around here as far as the monsoon is concerned. By Friday, more thunderstorms return to the deserts, but then we dry it out again over the weekend. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. KFNX News Time is 4:33 currently in Central Phoenix. We are at 110 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
I have the answer. Call me for this link and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient dense, locally grown produce, and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma culture is our name, and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601.
The Lou Dobbs Show, returning this country to the American people, 1 hour at a time, Monday through Friday starting at 5, right here on KFNX, and streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
This is Dennis Willinchek, and we're here on Legalese every week, every Wednesday from 4 to 5. I'm here with Jack Willinchek, my son, who's a budding lawyer-to-be, and frankly, pleased to say that he has been working with Peggy Neely on her campaign for mayor. And I have made it clear on the show that I'm an unabashed Peggy Neely fan, so I'm pleased to have Peggy on the line with us. Couldn't make it in the studio, but is on the line with us, hopefully. Peggy, you're with us?
I am, Dennis. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, well, same here. And we know that there isn't that much time left for the election, so I wanted you to remind our listeners, number one, when the election is, so they can go out and vote for you, hopefully.
The final day to vote is August 30th. They can vote early ballots, or they can go into the polling places starting next Friday and end up on Tuesday.
Now, I do want to say that, you know, honestly, there are a lot of good candidates out there who are running, and not to take anything away from any of them, but having known you for a long time and knowing your commitment to the city and your dreams and goals for the city, I obviously make no bones, as I said, about the fact that I've supported you for what it's worth. And I
appreciate that support.
Absolutely, and hopefully my listeners will support you, too, and go out and vote for you. But I wanted to just say that I just got a little note earlier before I started the show about some of the exciting announcement, really, about some of the people that are supporting you. And I just want to let our listeners know that Governor Jan Brewer has just recently announced her enthusiastic endorsement of Peggy as the next mayor of Phoenix and has said, quote, "I have admired Peggy Neely's record of job creation and her devotion to government reform. With the passage of Arizona's economic competitiveness package and the creation of the Arizona Commerce Authority, Arizona needs experienced leaders who are dedicated to public-private partnerships and job creation, and Peggy fits that bill and has my full support. I look forward to working with her on Arizona's comeback." And hear, hear.
And Dennis, you know, I am so excited to have the governor's endorsement. We have worked together while I was on council, and she was the governor and also as the Secretary of State. But most recently, I've been working with her her new push for economic development throughout the state and the city of Phoenix.
Yeah, there's a couple of issues that Jack and I wanted to go over with you on the radio. We have some time before the break. Number one, there was an article in the paper that I noted about Sal DiCicco and some people giving him some grief for whatever their reasons were about supporting you. Who are these people and why were they giving him grief?
Well, you know, I think that this election has become much more partisan than we've ever seen, and I think that we have had people that have been supportive of Sal's agenda, and they thought that their candidate would be the one that he would be supporting. But as a matter of fact, Sal and I have been working together for quite some time, and I would tell you that you never agree with people 100%, but I would say 80% of the time Sal and I agree on the reforms that need to happen, and he realizes that I'm the strong leader to be able to get us there. And I think that was probably why he got some grief over it, because they thought that he would be looking for an outsider to come in and run for mayor.
Interesting. Well, you know, I applauded the fact that he stood by his endorsement of you strongly and didn't back off of it in the slightest under pressure from some people.
No, it's been great to have him. And I'll tell you what, I think that we have a great coalition because we have people from all spectrums. So we really believe that that shows that people understand that I have the leadership, have the ability to make consensus, to be able to move this thing forward and make the tough decisions that have to be made.
Yeah. Now, we're talking with Peggy Neely, who's running for mayor, and the election is coming up at the end of August here, so you can send in your ballots or go in and vote at the end of August if you live in Phoenix. Unfortunately, I do not live in Phoenix and can't vote for Peggy, but I would if I could. Peggy has served as vice mayor of the city council and has been on the city council for some time and has the experience, in my opinion, to be the next mayor. It's going to take, it's going to take a yeoman's job to get this not only city but the state back. And, of course, one of the things that I noted in the debate was that there were some statements that the city is doing great right now. And is that really accurate?
Yeah, Dennis, we still have not returned to 2008 levels of collecting on our sales tax. So to me, we're not where we need to be. And until we get back to the levels of 2008, we're not going to be able to say we're doing great.
I mean, I thought it was kind of naive, frankly. I'll just say this. I thought it was kind of naive of some of the candidates to take the position that there's a rosy picture out there, or to say that, you know, the city's in great shape and therefore we don't need new leadership to do something in the future to bring us all back. I think everybody knows that's just nonsense, and that Phoenix is not an island and can't stand by itself, and whether or not it's doing great at the moment in terms of meeting its obligations or has a AAA rating doesn't mean that tomorrow it can't be bumped like the United States of America. So to put in office somebody who doesn't understand that you got to constantly be moving forward is scary to me, frankly.
Well, and we need to have a budget that's realistic, not one based upon, geez, looks like things are great. And as we know, we can talk about bond ratings, but we saw what happened to the U.S. We saw what happened to Flagstaff.
Right.
In the click of the eyes, we were downgraded.
Any businessman knows, and you know, as a former businesswoman, that you can't stay stagnant and pat yourself on the back at any point in time. You got to always be looking ahead into the future, and you do that, and that's why I hope you're our next mayor. But how's it been out on the campaign trail? Has your message been received, or are you getting good traction?
Well, you know, Dennis, I think our message is being loudly received. The plan that we put together was dealt with the residents that told us what they believed that were important. So economic development, jobs, is number one. Number two is controlling the budget and making sure that City Hall is representing the taxpayers, not itself. And number three, greater transparency. And that's what people are hearing. I have to tell you that people are trying to create their own track record or tear other people's track record down because they don't have a record. But I would encourage people to take a look at my website at PeggyNeely.com, because that's where I have a strong record and I have a plan for making sure we move the city forward, along with reforms that have to happen to make sure that we stay a stable city.
Well, let me ask you also, I have to ask you, you were also sort of indirectly knocked by some candidates particularly I think Stanton, if I'm not mistaken, on City North, because he wasn't, I think, a councilman at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, he didn't vote for it. He was a councilman.
Oh, he was a councilman, but he didn't vote for it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a great one, because I can tell you, as of today, we have not paid $1 out and received over $3 million in sales tax dollars on the first phase. Unfortunately, it, like a lot of other projects across the county, got caught in the downfall of the economy. Some of it might have had to do with some of the...
Well, yeah, but that didn't hurt the city any or its coffers,
absolutely,
as you point out.
Absolutely not. And if the agreement was to move forward, I can tell you it's performance-based. So unless they meet the square footage that they have to, and virtually what you're doing is reimbursing infrastructure, and that's what we would do, but it would be totally performance-based. We need to make sure we have new revenue, and if we're afraid of looking at deals that brings us in new revenue, then we better be prepared to make some really big cuts in our budget in future years.
Now, we're talking with Peggy Neely, who is hopefully going to be Phoenix's next mayor. The election, again, is at the end of the month, and you need to go in and vote for Peggy to get her elected. But Peggy is a former business owner, former owner of a real estate firm, broker, served on the board of directors of the Arizona Association of Realtors and Phoenix Association of Realtors, has real-life experience in business and is not just talking from some ivory tower like some of the lawyers that are running who've worked at the Attorney General's office, which is fine, but haven't been in the real trenches. Peggy's been on the city council and knows what she's doing. So, Peggy, you've sat on numerous, I can't even list them all in the time we have, numerous committees and so forth of the city. Is that right?
I have, and I've actually represented us on a countywide basis and chaired the Maricopa Association of Government. I've been on our Convention and Visitors Bureau group and chaired several subcommittees right there at the city. So leadership is something that comes very easy for me, but it's also being committed and not changing your mind. You've got to be committed. You have to have a vision. I truly believe I am that decisive leader that can move Phoenix forward.
All right, and before we take our next commercial break, which is coming up here, Peggy, we're talking with Peggy Neely, and we will be talking with Peggy Neely till the end of the hour. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese. But, Peggy, real quickly, what is the single biggest issue as you go around campaigning that's on people's minds right now that you're going to take care of when you become mayor?
Jobs, having a job. They're concerned about being able to keep their home, being able to move forward. They want to know that there's hope, that they can stay in this city with their family, and they want to know that we have a plan to be able to help them find jobs, and we do have a plan. We can expand our economy. We need to do it regionally, but we need to do it all levels.
Okay, well, when we come back, we're going to get into more details about that with Peggy Neely, candidate for mayor of the city of Phoenix. This is Dennis Wolinchek on Legalese, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You'll feel psyched up, tuned in, turned on, and mega-wired for sound. What? Yeah, tune in to Healthy House Calls. We discuss the secrets to wellness, longevity, and abundant energy. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we broadcast live and direct from Healthy Habit Health Food Store.
I wanted to get her something that was a symbol for what she is. Strength and fragility. Dimensional and bright. Taken together, it's an inexpressible expression. At least I thought it was inexpressible. Until I found what I was looking for at London Gold, a diamond. It's clear, but not transparent. It attracts light, yet reflects and refracts it, as though producing its very own. A diamond has many sides, and yet it's organic, one whole thing. It was perfect. The quality was unlike I'd seen anywhere else. And I got the best price because London Gold buys directly from the source without the middleman markups. When I gave her the earrings, her eyes reflected their sparkle and fire. Next time, it'll be a ring.
London Gold. It's the best.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wolinchek & Bartness have provided quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wolinchek & Bartness specialize in cases of breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wolinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810, 602-606-2810.
He's the voice of choice. Lou Dobbs leads the independent nation. Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100 and streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
This is Dennis Wallencheck, and we're back on Legalese. As I say, every Wednesday from 4 to 5, we have the opportunity to come to you from the Midtown offices, I guess not downtown offices, I'd say, of KFNX here in Phoenix. And today, we've been talking with Dave Cole earlier today, Solicitor General of the state of Arizona, and now we have Peggy Neely on the line, who is running for mayor and out there beating the bushes for votes. And Peggy, let me ask you this. Senate Bill 1070, let's talk about that for a minute if we can. Does that affect the city, and if so, what's your position on it?
I'm supportive, and I have to tell you, Dennis, that what we have to do is we have to enforce the law. It has to be, you know, if it's federal law, state law, we have to enforce it. We need to make sure that we're doing all we can to enforce the law. We also need to use our powers among our being the sixth largest city to lobby at the federal level to get our borders secure. It's time that we stop hearing the rhetoric that's going on saying that our borders are secure. We should be using our powers to find a way to secure the borders and push for comprehensive immigration reform.
Yeah. All right, let's turn, because I'm going to try to hit some topics before we end the day. Let's turn to something else that's been in the news recently, which is the light rail system. I noted that Mayor Gordon was talking about the fact that, and I don't understand this just as a citizen reading the papers like everybody else or listening to the news, but apparently it's not going to fully hook up, meaning people who drive to a station, I guess is the best way to say it, a light rail station, need to park somewhere. And right now, as I understand it, the parking lots, the park-and-go lots that they park in, won't allow them to stay there for more than 24 hours, which kind of defeats the point unless you're just going on a day trip, which is highly unusual. Is there anything that you can think of on that issue that you would do as mayor to make that more logical? Because to me, it seems that's kind of crazy, isn't it?
It is, and actually, I would tell you, let's vision what happens if you're in D.C. or Maryland. They actually, if you're going to park in their lots, you know, you may have some surface parking that may be shorter term, that's less than 24 hours, but you actually have more of a parking attendant that you may have a small cost involved with that, but we definitely need to do what we can to expand our transportation modes. We're going to be a great city with great employers. Some of the things that I hear is we need a fully multimodal transportation system, and the only way that's going to happen is if we make it on a regionalized basis, because currently we have systems that only cover Glendale, only cover Phoenix, and what's happening is we have layer after layer at the light rail, at the bus, and Phoenix's transportation department that need to be eliminated. We need to become regional so we can plan for a regional system, and then we can begin to address some of these things. But currently what's going on is we have 32 towns, cities, and agencies that are in MAG, Maricopa Association of Government, and each one of them is out there to get their portion of the pie at the federal level and at the county level. We need to become regional. We need to enforce a plan, you know, plan what our plan's going to be and find a way to get it paid for instead of all of us looking to go to Washington to lobby for the same dollars.
Yeah. Well, let's turn now to the jobs, since that seems to be the big issue. How does the mayor of Phoenix create jobs?
Well, number one, we have to create an environment that we are a business-friendly city, and we need to decide what we are going to be great for. We currently have splintered how we're attracting jobs. I believe that we need to be growing upon the health care that we currently have, some of the best health care in the country. You've got Mayo Clinic, you've got Barrows, you've got Children's Hospital. We have a bioscience area that's going to have a cancer hospital. We have MD Anderson. We need to decide what our strengths are and build upon those. I truly believe, number one, we need to remove the barriers that are keeping businesses from coming here, and that may be something as quick as making someone turn in their plans at City Hall and be able to get their plans back in 24 hours. So we're not being restrictive on how long it takes to get the information back out of the city. But secondly, we should also be as competitive as anywhere in the Southwest, making sure that the cost is not overburdening.
Yeah. Well, you know, and in that regard, let's talk for a minute about the food tax, okay?
Oh, I'd love to talk about the food tax.
Yeah. As I understand it, obviously you're opposed to that, I would think.
I am, and I'm looking to try and repeal it as soon as I get there. I can tell you I didn't vote for it. But go ahead and ask me what you
Well, yeah,
want
no, I just want to know your position on it, obviously, because some members that are running, some people that are running are for it, and I guess I don't understand the thinking behind it. So why don't you take the time and tell our listeners your position on it?
You know, I think it really, especially in this economy, I don't know that City Hall has felt what our everyday citizen is feeling out there. They're without a job. They may be one income. They may be one payment from being out of their home, and then we put a tax on top of that. But the worst thing about that tax was we posted it legally through the government system on Monday and voted on Tuesday. I voted against it. We did not have any debate about why we needed to do it. And then we had that new revenue stream, and then we went back in and balanced the budget. And so I'm absolutely opposed to that because, number one, we need to be having a real conversation about what we need to do to balance our budget. But just by finding a new revenue stream on the backs of our taxpayer is not the way to fix our budget problems.
Yeah, well said. We're talking with Peggy Neely, who is running for mayor. There will be an election at the end of the month, and Peggy is right in the forefront, and hopefully you'll vote for her or send in your ballots early and get out there and vote. Peggy, speaking of which, I noted at the beginning of your campaign a lot of distinctive signs on the roads for you. There were, in fact, somebody here mentioned to me that they were really distinctive because they were a different color than your standard red, white, and blue signs that you get sick of seeing every day, and they blend into one another. Yours had a distinctive green and yellow coloring to them, so they stood out. Where are these signs? Because lately I haven't seen these signs on the road, and I'm wondering what happened to them.
Well, that's a good question because I can tell you the campaign has bought over 1,000 signs, and we have put them up. And, you know, though it, as you know, being a lawyer, that there are rules about not touching those signs, but they disappear quickly. So we've had a hard time keeping our signs up, and I don't know if it is people that you know, just think that they're doing us a favor, or if it is some of my competitors out there.
It is odd, I have to say. It really is odd. And I know that some of your competitors are being backed by unions and so forth who help them, I think, put up some of these signs, don't they?
Yes, they do.
So without accusing anybody of anything, obviously, it's a rather odd situation that their signs are all over the place and suddenly your signs are gone, I think. I'll let the public decide on that one.
That's right. And if people see people around the signs, please call our campaign because we could use any help that we can get, because it has been a constant problem of being able to keep the signs up.
What are your plans, next few minutes we've got, what are your plans in the last few days of the campaign to get out to the public more? I noticed some of your opponents are going on the airwaves, television, for example. Do you have any plans to do anything special before the campaign?
Well, we are doing dialing. Actually, I think the governor did a call for us today. We continue to do lots of emails. You know, this campaign is much different than the first one I had in 2001. Social media and emails has become a big deal in moving forward with this campaign. We will be doing a big get-together for our supporters on Tuesday, which gives us 7 days before the election. We're walking neighborhoods. We are making sure that we call people to get out to vote. We're using all of the methods that we can to let people know. We do have some ads going on radio, And we're doing mailings. We're continuing to mail people. And as you can expect, when you are trying to do a city that's 554 square miles, you use all modes that you can to get your message out.
All right. I want to point out to our listeners, if they want to help you in this effort to bring the city back to prominence from where it is now with our current mayor, what do they do?
They can go to PeggyNeely.com and get us a note of what they would like to be involved in. Right there will show my policies. It will also tell them how to contact us. We'll get them signed up, just like Jack. And I want to tell you, Jack, we really have appreciated you engaging in the campaign. He's been out there helping us knock on doors. He's been out there supporting us as we move along at the debates. I really do appreciate it.
Happy to do it, Peggy. Happy to do it.
Yeah,
you know, he speaks so highly of you. And, of course, as I said, we highly endorse you on this show. So we're going to have to leave for the day, unfortunately. But, Peggy, it's been a pleasure having you on, and hopefully we'll have you on when you're mayor.
Great. Well, thanks for having me, and I look forward to the support. Thanks so much, guys.
Absolutely. And
right.
If you can get out there, folks, vote for Peggy Neely. She needs your vote. We'll see you next week on the show at 4 o'clock Wednesday. This is Legalese with Dennis Woloncheck on KFNX News Talk Radio. Up is the Lou Dobbs Show.
The Lou Dobbs Show, returning this country to the American people, 1 hour at a time. Monday through Friday starting at 5, right here on KFNX and streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Healthline, the world's leader in cell-resonant nutrition technology, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works. This month, Max Stress B is on special, delivering near-instant energy boosting from its live source, high-energy, end-chain forms of B vitamins. Feel the difference, increased energy, better mood, less sleep need, and more stamina. Even folic acid is in the end-chain form, ready to use by the cell. Max Stress B, our best seller. Nothing else even comes close. Buy two bottles and get the third one free. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447. Experience nutrition that really works.
Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall, every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Lou Dobbs, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m.